But first, I'm delighted to welcome to the program Bill McKibben. He's the author of many books, founder of 350.org, and more recently, founder of Third Act. Bill, welcome to the program.
Well, what a pleasure to be with you as always, Ed. I hope you're well.
And I hope you're well, too, although I believe you have a cold.
I do have a cold, but I believe that my brain is working more or less.
Well, let's test it out, shall we?
Yes.
Okay, so last week in Boston, Mayor Michelle Wu, who I have a lot of admiration for, she flipped the switch at the Old North Church to light a green lantern. And, of course, for folks who may not remember, the Old North Church is where Paul Revere instructed, I guess, two parishioners to flip on one light if the British were invading by land and two if they were invading by sea. And that happened. And now it's happened again, just last week, with a green light to signal the, I presume, climate crisis and the launch toward a big event to address that called Sun Day on September 21st. Do I have that right, Bill?
Exactly right. So let me just say, if you ever give up on America's ability to produce great leaders, Michelle Wu in Boston is someone to console you. Not only is she a great and extremely popular mayor, but if you go Google her, you can find a video from last year when she was 7 months pregnant playing Rhapsody in Blue on the piano with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. So if you worry that the fellow currently occupying the White House is the best we can do, it's always good to be reminded otherwise.
I did not know she was a concert pianist. And as a pianist myself, I will tell you that Rhapsody in Blue is a tough cookie to crack.
She played it without a score, and The symphony orchestra gave her a standing ovation at the end. So
okay.
Of that what you will.
I make a lot of that. I'm pretty good, but I could not play Rhapsody in Blue. Anyway, so why? Here's a question I have. Why was the light that was lit in the Old North Church green? I might make a guess on that, but
this is the beginning of a 5 month countdown to September 21st, which is A, the autumnal equinox, and B, Sunday, not Earth Day, but Sunday. And it's a day when across the country, people are going to be celebrating energy from the sun and the wind, since that's just an indirect form of solar power itself. The goal here is to help Americans understand that in the last few years, something really important has happened. And what's really important is that we've crossed some invisible line where the cost of generating power from the sun and the wind is lower than the cost of setting coal and oil and gas on fire.
Right, right.
That's a big deal. Now, Midwesterners have had a sense of this for a while, especially as regards wind. But it's really important that we get this across, because we've spent my whole lifetime talking about this stuff as alternative energy, as if it was kind of the
right.
Whole Foods of energy, you know,
yeah.
Nice but pricey. It's the Costco of energy now. It's cheap. It's available in bulk on the shelf. Why do you think that big oil is so frightened? Why do you think they spend so much money making sure that Donald Trump's president of the United States? Because they know that we now live on a planet where the cheapest way to make energy is to point a sheet of glass at the sun. That is a huge moment in
right.
human history.
And they can't. They
in many
can't.
Ways, it's at least as interesting as the moment when we learned about internal combustion back in
right.
you know, the 18th century, because it means that nobody is ever again going to have to be captive to Saudi Arabia and Texas and Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
We can make energy from the sun and the wind absolutely everywhere. And man, we're starting to.
And of course, big oil.
On the place.
Big oil can't own the sun. They can't. That's something they can't buy.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not. Nobody can. It's not. You can't hoard it. You can't hold it in vast reserves and dole it out a little bit at a time. You know, Exxon has spent the last 100 years being the most profitable company in the world because, you know, they there you were at your house and once a month, the guy with the truck and the big fat hose would appear and unroll a hose and into your basement, pump some more oil for your furnace. And you had to write them a check every month. This new energy doesn't work like that. You got to spend a little bit of money to put up the solar panels in the first place. But then the sun delivers the energy for free. And now we have the batteries to store it and use it all night.
So, Bill, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, there's a couple of places where we're actually doing this at scale, and the results are pretty amazing. California is the U.S. state that's done the most here, and they've reached some kind of tipping point. They're now day after day generating 100% of the electricity that they use from renewable energy. And the consequence is that compared with 2 years ago, 2023, California is using about 44% less natural gas to produce power than they were. In 40 years of working on the climate crisis, that's the most optimistic statistic I've seen. And you know what? Texas is now outpacing California in the pace at which they're building this stuff. All of this is a distinct second place to the Chinese, who have put up about two-thirds now of the clean energy in the world, who used 5% less coal in the first quarter of this year than the first quarter of last year, and who are, forget about petrostates, they're just about the world's first electro state, and they're going to own the future if we don't get our act together and get it together fast.
So, Bill, I wanted to ask you about the launch of this event, again, leading up to the big event on September 1st. And I want to ask you about September 21st, the content of that. But again, it did not escape my notice that you're tapping kind of into the same vein of American pride, revolutionary pride, that inspired the, you know, very conservative Tea Party movement back in 2008. Is that something you or others have thought about, how they're, you know,
Absolutely. I grew up in Lexington, Massachusetts, you know, where Paul Revere came once he saw the two lanterns up there in the steeple. And I spent my early years giving tours of the Battle Green with a tricorn hat on my head as tourists poured into Lexington.
Right.
I think that our notion of independence is really important. And one of the interesting things about solar energy is that it jumps across ideological lines. Yet Donald Trump hates it, but the polling shows that Americans like sun and wind at very high levels and across partisan divisions. I think sometimes for different reasons. I think that there are conservatives who think, I've got solar panels on my roof and now my home really is my castle and, you know, I don't have to share it with anyone. And I think that there are liberals who are like, you know, the groovy power of the sun is letting us network our homes into a big web of happy energy providers, whatever. We can deal with differences like that. We just have to get the basics right here.
So what exactly is planned for September 21st?
Yeah, everything. This is a big coalition of groups and people all across the country. groups like Electro Drive, who are people who are, you know, electric car aficionados. They'll be doing e-bike and EV parades. There'll be lots of people opening their homes to their neighbors to show them their solar panels or their heat pumps, which are the, you know, way that we use electricity to heat and cool our homes. There'll be people cutting the ribbons on new solar arrays, but there'll also be places where people will be doing, you know, kind of guerrilla installations of solar panels because America makes it way harder than it should. Last year in Germany, 1.5 million people, apartment dwellers, put solar panels on their balconies. They went to IKEA, hung a solar panel off the railing of their apartment balcony, and in many cases were producing a quarter of their power. You can't do that in America. It's illegal. The local building inspectors and things won't allow it. But we have to change that. We have to make this regulations much, much easier. And happily, we have the technology to do that. The same kind of instant approval solar apps that are in widespread use now in Australia and the EU that mean that putting up renewable energy costs about a third as much in those places.
Yeah, and you know, there I think it varies from city to city, but I know there are some cities where there are severe restrictions on what you can do with a solar panel in your front yard, for example, or even on your roof. And it seems like if big oil can't own the sun, they're just going to make it, they're at least going to make it more and more difficult for us to own a piece of it. And that seems to be one of the biggest obstacles we face.
Exactly right. And it's, you know, it's time to get past that. My particular bugaboo, of course, is the climate crisis. I've spent my life working on it. And now my home where I live in the mountains of New England has been flooded twice in the last 3 years. Mm. The home that I was, my first boyhood memories in Altadena, California, burned to the ground in the January blazes. People across the Midwest are figuring out what this means for agriculture. Well, we have year after year of either drought or a flood. But even if you're, you know, for whatever reason, don't care about any of that, the fact that we're tying ourselves to the most expensive forms of energy is just silly. Why would anyone want to let China own the entire future? You know, our obsession with the technologies of the past. At the moment, the president wants to bring back coal mining as a major part of America's energy economy. We're literally talking about 18th century technology that's expensive and it's bad for human health in every way, including for the people who have to go down in the mine and dig it out, as I can tell you, because my entire family's from West Virginia. Instead, we have this possibility for remarkable change, and we can do it fast, and we can do it affordably, and we'll be far better off on the other side. We just need to be talking about it. So that's why Sunday.Earth, I've got a new book coming out in the middle of the summer called Apologies to George Harrison, Here Comes the Sun. This is our moment.
Yeah, so, and I don't think George Harrison would mind you borrowing that that tag. And again, he's got no monopoly on the sun either. So, so in terms of
the sun is the sun is the most charismatic object in our universe. It already gives us light. It already gives us warmth. It already provides photosynthesis. Now it's willing to give us all the power we could ever use.
Right.
And what a good thing.
Yeah, I'm glad we're next door, but not too close. So in terms of what might happen on September 21st, this is just popping into my head and one possibility. Wouldn't it be powerful if another coast-to-coast march set off from California on that day, intending to go to Washington, D.C. to raise the alarm about the importance of our federal government taking a stronger stand on climate change? Again, a march like the Great March for Climate Action that you strongly endorsed and promoted years ago, but you know, maybe something with a slightly different angle, but with the same focus of trying to mobilize people.
And I drove from Maine. I, with some students, drove the solar panels that Jimmy Carter had put on the White House in 1978.
I remember that.
Back down to Washington to try and convince the Obamas to put them back on during his administration. We've known about this a long time, and if we paid attention to people like Carter, we'd be a lot better off than we are now.
Yep.
But now it's time to catch up. So yeah, that's just the kind of thing. And if you have good ideas, Sunday.Earth is the place to go and help us with all of this.
Well, Bill, I sure appreciate you taking the time to join us. I hope your cold feels better. I hope the cold of Vermont's winter is past and you're now able to get out and plant your vegetable garden.
Bask in the sun, baby. That's what we're all about. All take care, man.
Thanks, Bill. Goodbye. Folks, that's Bill McKibben.